Praise God. It's a beautiful snowy day out there in western New York. Hallelujah. Glory to God, I'm going to tell you. I'm like a cage cat, and somebody left the cage partially open this morning, and I got out, praise the Lord, and they got me here. Praise the Lord, I rolled in just before church, but that's okay because I rolled in ready, amen. Glory to God. I've been with my pastor all week in sunny California, glory to God, and we weren't out there on vacation, but we were out there doing the work of the Lord, and it's terrible to do the work of the Lord in sunny California, praise the Lord. But you know, we were out there, we were amongst the wildfires, we watched some of them, praise the Lord. Not praise the Lord for the wildfires, praise the Lord that we were safe. We were, literally, our hotel was like a few miles from some of the wildfires, and so we got to witness some of that. But God is good, He protects us, He keeps us, amen. But the most important thing is in that church all week, there was fire in that church, hallelujah. And I'm not talking about wildfire the way you think of wildfires, or the way they're talking about wildfires, but we're talking about a Holy Ghost wildfire, praise the Lord. And some of that got in me, don't you know? And when it got in me, it just stirred me up all week. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to get away this week. And as I was away, as I was out there, I was filling up the entire week. I mean, I was waking up because, you know, their time is 3 hours before ours. And as I've gotten into my 40s, I don't know why, but I just wake up at a certain time every day now. And it doesn't. That timer inside my body doesn't realize that there's a thing called, what do they call that? Time change, yeah, yeah. And they're 3 hours behind us, so I was still waking up at four in the morning, amen? But I'd wake up at 4 in the morning, and I'd get in the Word, glory to God. I would go down in the hotel and wait for breakfast, and I'd get in the Word and just get filled up. And I got enough messages for the next 3 months, amen. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to preach them all today, hallelujah, glory to God. But you know that's not true, but I ain't going to preach them all today, but we're going to get into some of it today because God is good, amen? He's got some good things for us, and he's training up a church of awesome, solid Christians, stable Christians. You know, one thing I love about our Lord is that He is the epitome of stability. Praise God. If you want to know God, then you will know stability. If you are unstable, you don't know God yet. Praise the Lord. Just hang on. We'll get you there. God, stability should be a sure sign that somebody is full of the Holy Ghost, that somebody is following God, somebody is in the direction that God has for them. Because God is a stable God. He is not unstable. He doesn't create things in chaos. He creates them in stability. And so that's what He's doing in His church. He's bringing stability. Now, we have a Holy Ghost God. We have, you know, there's plenty of times where you know, we've had services where we end up dancing. We had services where some of us end up running. Praise the Lord. No, if you're new here today, that might sound weird to you. But sometimes, you know, when you're in joy, you just do what joy does. Amen? And sometimes joy says, get up and run. And so when joy says, get up and run. Amen. There ain't nothing wrong with that. Amen. Just because they don't do it in every church in town doesn't mean that it's wrong. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But, you know, the truth of the matter is, though, is that the stability of the Word is the most important thing in a believer's life. We can have these exciting services, and yes, we will, and yes, we do, and they're good and wonderful, but the Word should always bring stability first and foremost. There's people that get off into instability. They get off into instability. Thank you. She didn't correct me, but she knew, and I could tell. I could sense it. Hallelujah. The teacher in her. But, you know, I'm a high school dropout, so you just got to bear with me a little bit on the lingo here, amen? But we'll get there eventually, amen? And I believe that you'll understand what we're talking about. But, there's people that get off into instability, and God has never called us to that. I don't know why I'm on all this, but it's good. Praise the Lord. Because God wants us to be stable people, I would imagine. Amen? Praise the Lord. But today we're talking about covenant people. That's the name of today's message. Covenant people. Praise the Lord. Covenant is an incredibly, incredibly important thing to God. In fact, it's the most important thing to God. People don't realize, people have a hard time realizing, especially in this society, especially because of what we've done with marriage. Now, marriage is, we're not talking specifically about marriage in the sense of a man and a woman, but we're going to be talking about marriage as it is between humans and God. And that's really what covenant is. God gave us marriage as an example of our covenant here on earth. Our example is our covenant with Him. So we have to understand that marriage is an example of our covenant with God. And so, though I said I wouldn't be specifically preaching about marriage today, if we don't honor marriage, we don't honor God either. If we won't honor marriage, we won't honor God, because it's an institution of God. That's why marriage is under such attack today. That's why we see so many, and it's not just in the homosexual agenda where they want men and men getting married and women getting married and stuff like that. Listen, we're not against those people. We just know that that's not of God. Amen. But marriage is under attack. We understand that it's not just that, but it's people who look at marriage, people who talk down about marriage. Listen, Christians should never talk down about marriage. If you talk down about marriage, you're talking down about God. If you say something nasty about your wife or your husband, you're talking down to God. The Bible tells us that as you treat them is how you treat the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so when we poo-poo those things, we're poo-pooing God. Yeah, that's the truth. And so we need to reverence these things, you know. Covenant is something that's kind of lost on our society because people give it up. Well, I just don't love them anymore. But that's not what the Bible tells us how love is. See, that's how the world tells us love is, and that's why you can just drop a marriage at the drop of a dime or drop a person at the drop of a hat. Praise the Lord. But that's not what God intended. God intended love to be long-suffering, to put up with a lot. Amen. To prefer one another, amen? And there's many covenants that we have. It's not just a marriage between a husband and a wife, but there's also a marriage between you and your local church. There's also a marriage between you and your pastor. There's a marriage between you and God, and all these things are connected, amen? These things aren't separated. And one of the reasons that things have gotten so far off is because people have disconnected from the covenant that God has put there. When you have true covenant, in olden times, they understood covenant. They understood that covenant wasn't easily broken. You know, Jesus even looked at, when they were asking Jesus about his views from the law on divorce, and they were talking about how Moses just allowed them to give a letter of divorce if they were done with their spouse. Praise God. Jesus said, God never intended it to be that way, but because of the hardness of your hearts, he allowed it to happen. Now listen, if you've been divorced, I've been divorced. We're not talking, I'm not here to bash you for being divorced. But I'm talking about going forward in covenant, amen? And covenant is a big, important thing we have to understand. Praise the Lord. You know, God has so many good things for us, and they're all found in covenant. Only found in covenant, in fact. See, people want from God, they want to receive from God, they want to get what God has, they want the blessing of the Lord. Is there anybody who doesn't want the blessing of God as much as you know what it is? Is there anyone that doesn't want it? Is there anyone who doesn't want the promises of Scripture? Is there anyone who doesn't want healing in their body? Is there anyone who doesn't want prosperity in their lives? Is there anyone who doesn't want all the blessings that God has lined up for us? Is there anyone who doesn't want that? Well, I don't see any hands going up, and I'd be quick to think that that's not true. But see, or think that that's true, praise the Lord, that you honestly want the blessings of God. Otherwise, you wouldn't be sitting here on this cold, beautifully cold Sunday morning. It is a beautiful wintry day out there, isn't it? Praise God. I love the winter. Glory to God. You know, the Southern Californians, they got a lot out there, but they don't have what we got here. Amen. Praise the Lord. We got the best of the best right here. But amen. Praise the Lord. So anyways, we want what God has. We want what God has, but we don't always want to do what we have to do to get there. See, the thing is that, yes, it's a free, Jesus was a free gift, and we talk about that. Jesus is a free gift. You ain't got to do anything to receive him other than receive him, right? You don't have to do anything to receive Jesus other than open your heart and say, I'll receive Jesus. But you see, there's something attached with that. You don't get to just receive Jesus and go on doing whatever you want to do. That's not the way God intended it to be. That's not covenant. That's selfishness. Praise the Lord. If you live your life based just on what you want, if you go to the church just because you want to go there because you like the music or you like the this or that, you like the town that it's in or whatever, then you've missed it. You've got to find out where God has called you. Amen? And that's what we tell people all the time. It does not matter where you want to be. It matters where God wants you to be. And when you find out how to get into when you find out how to make God's desire your desire, then what happens is God's desire starts flourishing inside of you. And then you start enjoying things a lot more. Amen. You can buck the system all you want, but sooner or later, you're going to be burnt. You're going to be burnt. We have people here that come from out of town that are in Mayville. In fact, I remember when we stood before the board in Mayville, and we were trying to get permission to have this building here, and they said, well, how many people do you have from Mayville anyways? We didn't have anybody from Mayville then. Yeah. Praise the Lord. We had a church of faithful people, and none of them were from Mayville specifically. Amen? Yeah. The town of Mayville. Well, they didn't love that. But here's the thing, it doesn't matter because now we have a bunch of Mayvilleites here, and it doesn't matter anyways because God called us to be here, and we got. And if you are connected to this church, he called you to be here. And you're here for a reason. And that reason is so that you can get filled. That reason is so you can that you can find out more about God, so you can go out there in the world and be the Christian that God intended you to be. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, when I was thinking about this, I think it was this morning, but, you know, whenever I go on a trip, whenever I go on one of these ministry trips, I always come back with something for my family. Amen? And I wrote this down. It says, when I come home from my family knows I bring them something. Praise the Lord. They always know that. And though I come in the door, been on this trip, I come in the door, the first thing they're seeking is not what I brought them. But I'm going to tell you, when I pull it out, whatever I got them, they're always excited about it. You always see that they're happy with it. Praise the Lord, unless I bought the wrong thing. Glory to God. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a little joke between me and my wife. But my wife loves teapots. And I'll just explain this to make sure you know. No, she doesn't love tea, but she loves teapots. Don't go buying her teapots because you will not buy her the right one. I learned this. Because I'd be in these stores, and I'd be like, oh, a teapot. Surely she'll love this one. Praise the Lord. And I bought her a whole slew of teapots, and she very, very graciously put them on the shelves, on the teapot shelves that we had. Praise the Lord. And guess what I found out? I think one of them worked. One of them out of, what, a dozen? Praise the Lord. So one of them, so we still have them up there, but she said, so don't go buying her ones, because you'll never figure it out, I promise you. Praise the Lord. I've been trying for years. I still ain't got it. Actually, one of the teapots I bought right here, right about over in that area there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. When it wasn't the church yet. Amen. Glory to you. That's a special teapot. You need to keep that one. Amen. But, you know, it gives me great joy when I'm out there, when I'm away, when I know that they what they want, and I'm out there trying to find something for them. And then when I find it, or wherever I'm at, you know, when I find that gift for them and I bring it back, it's a joy for me to do that. Amen? But they're not expecting it. But see, this is kind of the same thing as our covenant with God. Like, it gives God great joy for us to walk in the blessings that he has for us. When he's set everything up for you, God loves when you get that. God loves when you are blessed. God is not the God that's up there giving and taking away. If you believe that horse malarkey, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you believe that garbage, then you're believing in the wrong God. Come on over to the right God, the God of the Holy Bible, praise the Lord. You know what I mean? Praise God. You got to come over to the right God because this God is the one who set it all up so we would be blessed. Now, just saying that we would be blessed does not mean that we're going to live in perpetual flowers and roses and butterflies skip around and everything's always going to be pretty. But it means that God's desire for you is always goodness. He always wants you to, as a father, and he's used this example in Scripture, but as a father, I can't imagine giving something bad to my child. Amen? But you know, something I can't imagine doing is disciplining my child when they aren't acting right. Why? Because I love them and I don't want them to end up in hell. I don't want them to go down that path. And so discipline is a very important thing. Parents, and I still discipline my 20-year-old. Why? Because he still lives in my household. He still lives under my roof and under my care. Praise the Lord. And he's a good man. He serves the Lord. He serves us. He's a wonderful example. But sometimes there's still need for discipline. Amen. And see, people have gotten away from this idea. They think that God is just trying to come up with bad things. But God ain't going to give you something if it's going to ruin you. I said, God ain't going to give you something if it's going to ruin you. Praise the Lord. God will not give you something if it's going to ruin you. That means if you're terrible with money, he ain't giving you more, even though he desires for you to have it. Right. Yeah, absolutely. He's made things a certain way. God will give you a spouse, but he ain't going to lead you to one if you can't take care of one. If you can't stop being selfish for 5 minutes, God ain't going to lead you to the perfect spouse. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we got to get into some scripture here. But God has a lot for you. And it's all found in covenant. Praise God. Turn with me to Genesis 17. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's all found in covenant. We have to know that. Praise the Lord. This is why, I'm going to give you a little marriage example. This is why marriage is under attack. See, because when the devil knows that if he can attack the greatest covenant that God gave us on earth, besides the covenant between us and him, the devil knew that if he can attack that he can get the people confused about all other covenants. Yeah, that's why the devil comes against marriages. That's why he's trying to rob from marriages, because he knows that if he can get you thinking wrong about this covenant, they can get you thinking wrong about every other covenant. Amen. And see, one of those covenants is like it's like the people that go out there and live like they're married, but they're not. Well, praise the Lord. We got a whole world full of it. Now listen, if you find yourself in that situation now, your goal has got to be to get married. Amen. I'm not trying to trash you. When my wife and I came into the church, we were not married. We were living in sin. We were living together, and we were living like a married couple. We shouldn't have been doing that. But see, here's the thing. We knew that we were living in sin. We got revelation of that, so we started moving towards that place of getting married, because we knew we had to get it right before God. It's important that you're right before God, because God can't fully bless you outside of covenant. And if you are operating outside of covenant, listen, it's not about getting upset or getting mad. Listen, you don't have to get mad if you're wrong on something. What you got to do is correct it. Amen? Because God isn't just bashing us. He wants us to correct things so he can bless us. See, that's why we have church. See, people for too long have thought of church as the wrong thing. They think that church is the place where you come just to feel better about yourself. But that's not what church is for. And I don't want you to get mad at me and think that, well, you can't come here if you're feeling terrible. I want you, if you're feeling terrible, come in here and get the word and then leave feeling good. Because my goal is to make people get to the place where they can go out there and live in joy all the time. Listen, Sunday morning isn't always just about being happy. I love Pastor Ruby this week. Pastor Ruby Ramos said, church is where we practice. It's where we practice. Like spiritual living is what she's talking about. See, a lot of people, they come to church for their spiritual experience. This is where we practice it so we can go out there and live it. That's what God wants for us. That's not bad. But see, so many people, they got everything all miscombobbled because they don't, or discombobbled, or whatever the word is. Praise the Lord. I'll make up my own words. I don't care. Don't get me going. I'll say what I want to say. I'm up here for the next hour. Praise the Lord. Don't you yell at me. Praise God. Hallelujah. But you see, people get everything all mixed up, and that's why the churches are going to, because people don't even know. Heck, there's preachers that don't know. I hear preachers all the time. I mean, we heard a preacher just a couple weeks ago. Dear Jesus, somebody we love goes to this church, and we listen to this preacher preaching because we see what kind of, I don't mind if somebody goes to a different church. Listen, as long as they're preaching the word, I don't mind. If that's where you're called, go there. I don't care. I don't have to have everybody in my church. But dear Jesus, this person is talking about, first this person's talking about the whole coexist garbage that you see. Have you ever seen those stickers? Coexist. Listen, we all have to coexist in the sense that we have to live in the same earth. And yes, we shouldn't throw stones at one another, right? We shouldn't be trying to hurt one another. That's the truth, right? But that doesn't mean that we have to accept everyone else's religion, especially when it's a religion that sends people to hell. But they were talking like, Muslims and Buddhists and Christians and Hindus, they all want the same similar things. They may want the same similar, they may want to live peacefully, but some of them, because of the religion they're practicing, are going to hell. I don't want people to go to hell. So that's why I want them to hear the truth, amen? I ain't going to accept other religions in the sense that I'm okay with other religions. No, I'm not okay with that. The foundation of the Muslims is in Satan. You realize that, right? It's in the Bible. You find it in the Bible. But the foundation of that religion is through Satan. Praise the Lord. That's the truth. Glory to God. So why don't we? Oh, glory. Hallelujah. So anyways, they're talking about coexisting. And then this minister invites a known, vocal, very vocal, very outward homosexual to come stand in his pulpit and preach to his people about what God wants. You just missed it, friend. You just missed all of it. See, we're not talking about hating on people. But listen, when things are out of order, I'm not going to put somebody before you who can't live right to talk about God. You don't know God. If you can't live right, you don't know God. If you refuse to live right, you don't know God. You have not got a clue yet. The Bible says that adulterers and fornicators and drunkards and liars, Jesus said these people go to hell. People who practice this stuff, we can't accept this. We can't be churches that are okay. Well, if everybody wants to lie, cheat, steal, that's okay. If everybody wants to go screwing around anyone they want, that's okay. not okay. We can't live like that. We find these truths in covenant, though. Amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ah, glory. I got to get into Scripture just so we can say we read some. That's a joke because we're going to read a lot, but you understand. But God's got a lot for us today. Amen? You know, and everything I'm saying is based out of Scripture. That's the truth. I'm not saying that we're not going to read Scripture. Scripture is very important to us. Yeah. Amen? It's the most important thing. If I did nothing but stood here and read Scripture, you'd be better off than in three-quarters of the churches in this nation. Amen. Yeah, because that church also, they had a 20-minute sermon and they read three scriptures. Yeah, I'm sure those people were fed that week. I'm not trying to come down on people, but sometimes the truth has to be preached. Amen? Taught. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you and their generations for an everlasting covenant. Be a God to you and your descendants after you. Praise God. To be a God to you and your descendants after you. God was planning from the beginning of time to establish this covenant with us. We know through the New Testament, I'm not going to go to all the scriptures today, but the New Testament and the Old Testament, we know that this all was leading towards Jesus coming to establish that covenant for us. Amen? But he says there to be a God to you and your descendants after you. That God is, that word God in the Hebrew is the word Elohim, which literally means supreme God. Supreme God. This is the God he wants to be to us. Amen? The supreme God. Praise the Lord. My young brother over here, Evan, had a great question last week. He asked me about the name of God. What's God's name? And this is another example of God's name, Elohim. This is God. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is another name that the Bible, that God calls himself. Amen? And it means supreme God. And thinking about that, and of course, my mind goes directly to food. What's supreme? You think about supreme pizza. Has anyone ever heard of a supreme pizza? Anybody in here that don't like pizza? Amen? Supreme pizzas are pretty good, right? They got, what's the characteristics of a supreme pizza? Got a lot of stuff on it, right? There's a lot of good stuff in there, amen? Supreme pizza is for the one that says, well, you know, I don't know what I really want. Just give me everything. You know what I'm saying? That's a supreme pizza, right? Am I wrong? Did I miss what supreme pizza is? I thought that's what supreme pizza was, amen? Well, don't make me use a different example. If that one don't work, that one worked pretty good, I thought. So it's a supreme pizza. What do you think about? So he's a supreme God. That means he's got everything that we need, everything that we could desire, amen? Why do people order the supreme pizza? Because it's a little bit of everything they desire, right? They look at the supreme pizza and they say, well, I like all these toppings, but this one's got it all, so I'm going to go with that one. Amen? That's what our God is to us. That's what covenant gets us. How many say that's a bad thing? How many say they don't want that? How many say that they don't want the blessings of God? See, that's what I'm saying. All the blessings of God are found in his deity, in who he is. He is a supreme God. He is a little bit of everything that we need. Actually, he's a lot of everything that we need. I don't mean to missay that, but you understand is that everything we need, everything we could desire is found in God. That's why humans are so foolish when we're out there chasing the world. We're out there chasing things that won't lead us to joy, won't lead us to peace. They will in the moment. The Bible says sin is enjoyable for a time. Listen, when you're out there, what's the old saying out there, chasing tail? You know what I mean? You think you're doing, is that bad? Praise God. Well, a little slightly. Hallelujah. Forgive me later. Forgive me now. I'll apologize later. Praise God. But you know people out there chasing things that like, yeah, that's what young bucks, they want to do. They want to go out there and chase the young doe around, right? Praise God. But we know that chasing a bunch of young doe ain't going to, I did that. And it didn't benefit me at all. I didn't learn anything that I needed for this relationship, chasing all the young doe around. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God wants to establish covenant with us. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hebrews 8, go with me to Hebrews 8, 6. Covenant is important to God. It means everything to God. And so when we... You see, you say, well, I haven't entered covenant with God. And the truth is, you have. If you believe in Jesus, if you receive Jesus, you enter covenant. So I didn't know I was signing up for all that. Well, you were signing up to get out of hell, weren't you? Right? Right? That was pretty good, right? That we don't have to go to hell anymore? Well, there's a little bit that comes with that, amen? There's a responsibility on your part, and there ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, just because we're in a society that teaches people that you can take whatever you want and have it too, and you know, who cares about what anyone else thinks? Well, we see where that leads us, right? Yep. Amen? But you're not sitting here because everything worked for you well out there. You're sitting here because you needed answers. You're sitting here because you needed change. You're sitting here because there was hope still inside you. You know why? Because that God that's in the Bible, He put that hope in the inside of you. Even when you weren't serving, that's how good our God is. That hope, there was some longing in you that drew you to God that was saying there has to be some truth in this. Amen? There has to be some truth out there. Praise the Lord. Hebrews 8:6. We're going to really read through verse 12. Praise God. But now He, and this is Jesus, has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as He is also the mediator of a better covenant. Everybody say better covenant. Which was established on better promises. Praise the Lord. A better covenant, He is the mediator. What is this talking about? Well, see, this is going back talking about priestly stuff and all the stuff you don't necessarily understand. And you don't necessarily need to understand that right this minute to get this. What we're talking about is Jesus is the mediator. He was the one that came to make that bridge between us and God. See, this is what I get so mad. I see these people out there that are, the Bible tract type people. You know how I don't like Bible tracts, and if you don't, I don't like Bible tracts. I don't think they lead people to Jesus. They push people away from Jesus. Why? Because we just got one. We just saw one. It had a $1 million bill. Praise the Lord, had Santa Claus on it. You knew it wasn't real, so that was good at least. And so you're not giving it to somebody thinking that you're going to get something, that isn't real. You know, some people, they used to hand out like $20 Bible tracts, and people thought they got $20, learned that it wasn't a 20, and it was just some Bible tract, and they're like, that just made them mad, you know what I mean? And it would me too, and I'm a Christian, I'm just telling you. Praise the Lord. So on the back of this Bible tract, they have all this gobbledygook about law and judgment and all this stuff, and I'm going to tell you right now that 99% of the people that aren't going to church have no idea what any of that means or says. It means nothing to them. The Bible, it's the love of Christ that leads, or love of God that leads men to repentance. It is not the severity of God. Now listen, yes, we can use the law to show people that sin is sin. There's nothing wrong with that. But you don't walk up to somebody on the street, slap them upside the head and say, hey, you're sinning, come and know Jesus, so you don't burn in hell forever. They're going to look at you like a kook. And they should look at you like a kook. You know why they should look at you like a kook? Because you stink and are a kook. If you walk up to people and throw stuff like that in their face and walk away thinking you did your religious duty, you don't know God. God is not a God who just intended to kill everybody. He is long-suffering. You know, the Bible, you need to get and read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. That'll teach you a little bit about love. And you'll realize that God didn't just teach us how to love and wasn't willing to do it Himself. He's long-suffering. He's patient. He doesn't just seek His own. He's seeking us. Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's how we do it. That's why I say if you just, instead of pushing 100 people away by going out and giving 100 of those out, why don't you focus on one person and pour your life into them and bring them into the body of Christ? If 1 million Christians did that in 1 year, we'd have 2 million Christians. And then the next year, if 2 million Christians did that, we'd have 4 million Christians. Why? Because when you invest in somebody, it means something to them. When you care about somebody, you will reach somebody. I'm telling you, you will. If you give them, if you pour your heart into somebody, you know, my wife was saying, and I'm going to use this example. You know, people are so funny about money, especially in the church. They get, if you still get funny about money in this, praise the Lord, then you ain't listening to me at all. And you need to listen now. But, you know, so we got blessed, and it's nice to get blessed. You know, the church was paying for that meal last night at the fellowship night, you know, as that's part of what we're trying to do down there. So we're paying for that fellowship, and somebody else paid for it. Praise the Lord. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't just run away with the blessing and say, oh, I got blessed. We turned around, and we sowed that, basically that same amount right back into that waitress. Yeah, amen. And you know what that did? That spoke to that waitress about God. Because we didn't sit there and say, well, our church wants to bless you with all this money. I did say our church believes that we follow the blessing of God. We want to follow God's goodness. And we kept pointing it back towards God. I didn't even say what our church's name was. But what I did do is we said that we want to bless you. And she couldn't hardly believe it. She was tearing up, crying. For $100. Do you understand what I'm saying? For $100, like some people, they look at $100 like, oh my God, I couldn't ever give that away. And you also don't want to reach people. See, sometimes that little bit of money, and listen, I don't care if I am beyond thinking that $100 even is a lot of money. $100 is peanuts. Yeah. It's peanuts in the grand scheme of things. I heard a story this week about $40,000 curtains. Amen? I heard a story about it. I'm not saying someone bought it. Somebody did buy it, not somebody in the church. That wouldn't matter. But I'm saying somebody bought $40,000 curtains. $100 is nothing. And $100, but look at what $100 did for that $100 spoke to that young woman. And see, that's my point, is that, see, as Christians, we get so, you know, me, that we don't even think about that sometimes. Standing in line, why not stand in line at the grocery line and say, you know what, I'm going to buy those for you. Why? Because my God, you waste more money. Praise God. This is one thing I'm going to tell you about people right now, and I learned this about myself, so I'm including myself in there. But people waste more money, even people who think they're poor. I thought I was dirt poor for years, couldn't do anything. And the truth of the matter was, is I had a bunch of money. I just wasn't budgeting it. Yeah. Well, praise God, hallelujah. If you don't budget it, you have no right to say, well, I do or don't have a lot. You have no idea because you don't budget it. Yeah. Amen? That's the whole purpose of it. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. I got to put some water back in, amen, because too much is coming out. Praise the Lord. Where were we? Did we start reading here? Yeah, verse 6, a better covenant established on better promises. This is specifically talking about the old Abrahamic covenant that you can read about in Deuteronomy 28. Is it 28? Yes, 28. Verses 1 through like 14, roughly, in that area. You can read about what the covenant gets you. This says that we have that plus more. So in your spare time, this week, go read Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, roughly. Read until you know it's in, read until it starts getting to the cursing, and then you'll know what God has for you. Amen? And we have more. Praise the Lord. And then go say, for if that first covenant had been faultless, then no place would have been sought for a second. And it was not faultless because of God, it was faultless because of us. Because finding fault with them, he says, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. And I know some of you might be thinking, who the heck is that? That's you and I. Yeah. Why? Because we are now grafted in. We are part of, the Bible also says that we're grafted in. We're part of that. We've preached about that. We'll preach about it again, but you are part of the house of Israel today. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Where was I? Lord, when I... says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the land in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, and I disregarded them, says the Lord. That's very important to know. They did not continue in the covenant, so he disregarded them. If you do not continue in the covenant, the Bible also tells us he will also disregard us. You have to continue in the covenant. Not just because you accepted Jesus once, because you live in the covenant. Amen? For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Hallelujah. None of them shall teach his neighbor, and none his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds. I will remember no more. This is people who have entered into covenant with God. This is not people that don't have covenant with him. Amen? In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Praise the Lord. I read a little bit further than I was planning, but praise God for it. So God is trying to teach, he wanted to create, God's purpose in us was always to have a covenant. And I know some of you may be thinking what covenant is. Covenant is simply a contract, it is agreement, it is a commitment, a guarantee, a warranty, a pledge, praise the Lord. It is this promise that two parties come together and they will abide by for all time. That's what covenant is. Covenant is not something that is supposed to be easily broken. When you pledge to, if you go to the bank to get a loan for a car or for a house or for anything else, what do? You enter into covenant. You understand covenant because you entered into that. Now, what happens if you get a house and you enter into covenant, you get a house, and you don't pay your part of the covenant? You don't keep up your part of the bargain. What happens? They take the house back. Amen. That's what we have to understand, is that if you don't keep up your end of the bargain, then what comes to you out of covenant isn't accessible by you anymore. See, this is why we try to get people to live in covenant. People who are married, you understand. People who have been divorced, you understand better. And I want to talk to you here for a minute and share with the rest of the people at some point how you felt when you went through a divorce. You didn't feel good about it, did you? It didn't. There was a lot. There was things that led you to a place where somebody you were really willing to say, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with this person. And something happened where you said, I got to get away from this person. Amen. We all understand that. If you've been divorced, you understand that. So, and if you haven't been divorced, you can probably understand that. But you understand that there's something that there's a breach in that breaks that. And you understand that feeling of not wanting to supply that person with your end of the bargain anymore, if you know what I mean. Right? I mean, ladies, if you made dinner, not just because you made dinner, men, if you made dinner, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I mean, praise God, I ain't gonna get all that, but praise the Lord. If you did something for your spouse when you first met them, you loved them. When you got divorced, you weren't looking to keep doing those same things, were you? Praise the Lord. You weren't saying, hey, you weren't saying, hey, let me, you know, I paid for all this stuff when we were together and we were in covenant, but you broke covenant and now I don't want to do that anymore because I know you're all innocent, right? Right, because we all are, right? We're always the innocent ones. It was always the other person. Right? You know what I'm saying? And sometimes it really was, and sometimes it was a little bit of both. But here's the truth of the matter. If you just follow God, if you learn how to, that's why we teach our kids to do this. If you learn how to follow God, you won't marry wrong. Why? Because God won't lead you to marry wrong. He will lead you to marry the right person. Amen. Well, glory to God. Hallelujah. So if somebody breaks it, you're not looking to still give them those same things. We have to understand this. You see, people, they don't really want covenant. What they want is what they want, and then they go out and live the way they want to live, and then they expect to just keep. That's why what's happening in our society is so incredibly dangerous, because people actually believe that's right. People actually believe it's right to go out there and live a certain lifestyle, and then just receive everything that you want. We have a whole generation of kids that come out of college. They go to college and get a 4-year liberal arts degree and come out thinking they should make $200,000 a year and can't understand why they're not. They just can't get why they're not. Why the world isn't just opening doors to them? And the only thing that they know how to do is send messages on Facebook and Instagram and all this other stuff. They have no skills. They haven't worked their way up. Bro, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, I told my son when he entered the workforce, he got a lesson in schooling and how the real world was, didn't you? You start seeing all of a sudden, wait a minute, it does not everything just comes easily. Sometimes you have to work for something. Sometimes you have to save for things. Sometimes you have to wait for that. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Sometimes you got to wait for something for 15 minutes instead of charging it or instead of getting a loan on it because you didn't know how. Because listen, people, there's foolish banks out there too. They'll give people money because they know they're going to get it one way or the other. They'll give people money. They'll say, oh, yeah. Yeah, you make $30,000 a year. Sure, you can afford a $400,000 house. Yeah, you can afford a $50,000 car on top of that. Just keep piling it up. Yeah, you can get some furniture too on that. Yeah, we'll just keep giving you money. That's what they did with me. Them idiots. They didn't know. Praise God, hallelujah. And I thought, I was out there, I was like, well, I can do this, I can do that. But then I started realizing my paycheck wasn't quite covering all that. And see, that was a hard lesson to learn. That's why I try to keep him out of it. Teach him, you know, teach our kids what we did that was wrong. But listen, if you live and you still do what's wrong, you can't teach your kids what's right. Because they ain't going to listen to you. Because they're going to see the hypocrisy in you. If you're doing what's wrong, praise God, in front of your kids constantly, and say, well, you don't do what I do, just do it differently. It doesn't work that way. Praise the Lord. That's why we have generations that just of people. And when we said, I was saying this, I don't know, recently, but the truth of the matter is the generation isn't necessarily all affected in that generation. We're seeing the results of two generations past, of the free love and do whatever you want to do. We're seeing the ramifications of that now in our society. Amen. Praise the Lord. We saw a parenting video. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We saw a parenting video that was, what do they call it? It's called gentle parenting. This is a new thing, gentle parenting. gentle parenting where you don't say no? You don't tell your kids no. That's called gentle parenting. That's called send your kid to hell parenting is what that's called. You don't say no? Like when does not saying no make sense? Because you might hurt the feeling. Who cares? I'd rather hurt my son's feelings and not have him run out in the street and get hit by a car. You know what I mean? It's absolute foolishness. And then they raise a whole generation of people. Well, you can't say no. You know, in Fredonia State, at least for the college out there, at least for a time, I don't know if it's still that way, but at least for a time, their daycare, they were not allowed to tell the kids no because it would have a negative effect on their whatever. It's a bunch of garbage. It's a bunch of just absolute garbage. Yeah, praise God. Hallelujah. That's the truth. We can't teach, or we can't not teach people no. This is the same thing in the church. If churches constantly say yes, God wants to say yes to you. I'm gonna start this all over and just reiterate this. God wants to say yes to you. He wants to say yes to you. But God will not be a bad parent and say yes to you if all it's going to do is crush you. It's not going to say yes to you. I want my son someday to be a millionaire. I do. I do not want my son being a millionaire at 20 years old. Why? Because foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. And he's still in that process where he's coming out. Now, I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying it's the truth. When I was 20 years old, I was about to have him. I was not ready to have him. I'm going to tell you right now. I was foolish in my thinking. And so the first part of his life, not half of it, but the first few years of it, he lived around utter foolishness. Children raising children. These things ought not be so. But see, the thing is we have to understand that things just because we want them doesn't mean they're good for us. God, I've learned this about God so many times. He wants us to have everything, but if it means taking us like this to get us there because of us, he'll do that. God wants you fully blessed. He wants you a millionaire. That would trip a lot of people up, but God wants you a millionaire. How do I know that? Because you see that in Scripture. You see, every single time people follow God in Scripture, they prospered. The Israelites, he said, if you do what I say, you follow my leading, essentially he'll make you millionaires. He'll lead you into the gold. Listen, when they built the temple back then, and you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, when they built the temple back then, people weren't bringing in 10, 20 bucks at a pop. People were bringing in gold. People were bringing in marble. People were bringing in these things because they had it themselves. Yeah, that's how they built the temple. You understand that? Because they were blessed. You know, it's kind of a joke about Jews always being rich. You ever thought maybe it's because they were the people of God? Because the covenant still applies to them, even though some of them aren't completely fully in it. Now, they can't walk in the fullness of it, but it still applies to them because he promised it to them. Amen? So that's the same way with people. If you live according to the principles, because a lot of them will live according to those principles. Yeah, oh, Jesus, hallelujah. Well, that's a whole nother story. But see, God wants us fully furnished. He wants us fully supplied. God doesn't have a problem with you having more than enough. God wants you in complete health. He isn't okay with you being sick. God does not want people being sick. It is not of God. Sickness is not of God. Jesus went about healing all who are, and the Bible says, oppressed of the devil. Yeah, God doesn't want you being sick. But you can't find, it's not that God's holding it back either. And see, this is what people, I was going to say this earlier. This is what a lot of people don't understand about God. God is not sending people to hell. This is what we have to understand this as Christians. Most Christians have no idea of this. They don't even know how to answer people. And we need to know how to answer people. God is not sending people to hell. Without Jesus, you are already on your way to hell. It isn't because God wanted it that way. It's because that's what sin does. Sin separates you from God. It separates you. It pushes God away. It's not that God is always reaching out to us. He's always reaching out to them. Every person that goes to the pit of hell, every person that spends eternity in hell, God is reaching to them all the way to the very end. He's reaching to them all that time because God's purpose is that all people would come to heaven. The Bible says that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. All would come to repentance. That is God's desire. But he can't bridge that gap. He gave the only thing he could that would bridge that gap of that sin, which is in our flesh, through our own will. He did the only thing he could, and that's why he sent his son. God can't do any more than that. He gave us everything. But in his son is found everything. His son is the blood of that covenant. That's the covenant. That's the thing that says that we have everything that God has. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I sent my son a scripture this week about how everything God has is mine and everything I have is his. Praise the Lord. Why? Because we're in covenant. We're in covenant with our families. We understand that. Amen? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Mark 10:9, I just want to, because this scripture was on my heart this morning, and I just wanted to bring it up. I don't even think it's in the computer, like up, they weren't ready for it, because they put it in during worship. But it says, therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. Of course, this is in the context of marriage, but we understand that covenant with God is, covenant, it covers everything. What God, we can't say that what God has joined together, man could separate in any area, because God doesn't want that. If God joined it together, he joined it together for a purpose. Amen? Covenant is not just with God, it is with your local church. Like what God has joined together, if God's brought you here, he's brought you here for a reason. Don't separate. Amen? I've had people come to me and say that God brought me here, and then don't show up. I've had people say, this is where God has me, and then don't come back. We had one person tell us that God, they prayed for this church. Glory, thank you. And yet they haven't been here more than like 3 times. Praise the Lord. They're not here today. Hallelujah. Why? Because they have no idea what covenant is. They think that, well, they can be in covenant. This is why those people live the lives they live. Always depressed, always hurting, always trying to figure it out. Jumping from one place to the next, one thing to the next. God doesn't want you to jump to one church to the next any more than he wants you to jump from one bed to the next. Yeah, amen. It's the same thing. How can you be planted in the house of the Lord and flourish in his courts if you don't have covenant? How can you? Amen? We'll take a plant, take all the dirt out of it, put it in a pot, right? You leave the roots on it. You got all the roots. You're real careful. Get all the dirt out. Leave all the roots, right? You put it in that pot and then move it from house to house and house. And tell me how long before it's brown. Tell me how long before it's dead and it's not putting out anymore. Amen? I can tell you what, it's not going to grow. It's not going to grow oranges. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's the truth. When I was in California this week, I saw, because the winds were really high out there, I saw a lot of tumbleweeds. You ever seen tumbleweed? I don't know why, but every time I saw one, I kind of giggled inside. You know, I don't. It's just funny. I don't know why they're funny. They're just funny. They're boo, 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 boo. They just like this, or sometimes they're like this big. Like I was driving down the street, and this boo, 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 boo. You know, and they're not heavy or anything, but they just kind of roll out in front of you and you know, just like laugh at it. It's funny. You know, it's just funny. I don't know. But these tumbleweeds, people aren't, like out in California, they have these great vast areas of fields of whatevers. They have huge areas of tomatoes and oranges and lemons, and you see all these, it's beautiful, you see all these trees, and it's the place is so stinking dry because there's no water. And so they bring water in, they're like always trying to get water in and bring it in and digging it up from way down deep, all this stuff. And, you know, they're always a problem with water, but they're watering. But you don't see people out there watering tumbleweeds. You don't see people out there taking care of tumbleweeds. You also don't see people looking to grow tumbleweeds and get the fruit off of them. Why? Because they don't produce anything. That's the way a lot of Christians are. They're flip-flopping around, and they're wondering why their life is so dry. They're here to there. They're up and down. You know what I'm talking about. This is probably, I don't know what percentage. It's a huge percentage of the church today. People are flip-flopping around. They have no idea. They have no idea what covenant is. Listen, how would you feel in covenant, married people? And if you were want to be married, how would you feel if your spouse just started hopping around? Yeah, how would you feel about that? You wouldn't feel very good, would you? You wouldn't want to, like, you certainly wouldn't want to be pouring into that spouse. You know what I'm saying? How many Christians are doing that? They're flip-flopping around. Listen, I'm not talking about if you are, you know, because there's people here that have come from other backgrounds, other places, you know what I mean? There is a time and a season sometimes when God moves you into something more. For example, if you're not getting fed, God hasn't planted you there. God doesn't want you to be somewhere you're not getting fed. He has never intended his people to starve. If you're starving, something's wrong, you need to move. But that doesn't mean you need to move. What it means is you need to get on your knees before God and say, Lord, where do you need me to be? When you find that place, then you need to hold on to that with everything that's in you, because that's where your lifeblood is. That's the only way you're going to flourish. That's the way you're only going to produce anything that anyone is going to desire, including God. Yeah, God wants us. He has intended for us to produce much fruit in our lives. And that fruit in our lives is not just one thing. It covers anything in your life that you can think about obtaining. And I hope that primarily on that list is people for the kingdom of God. My goal is to reach people. That's all I care about. My goal is to get the word in people, to train people, to go out there and reach more people. That's all I care about. Praise the Lord. I don't care about the other stuff. The other stuff is nice. Praise the Lord. It's nice to drive a nice vehicle. But praise God, I don't care. I'm not after that. But you know, like with me, I didn't even have to. The Lord just spoke to me and said, do that. It's time. Praise the Lord. The building in Corey, it's another example. This is another example of God's faithfulness. You do what he says to do, and he provides for it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I said he provides for it. But see, if you're sitting there, if you're on your knees every night, and you're still just me, this is what I need. If every time you go to God, you're asking for something for yourself, you haven't got covenant. You haven't got any idea of covenant. Covenant says, what do I got to do to fulfill my part of it? Because this is the thing. This is the difference between God and people. God is faithful, people are not. In general, God is faithful, people are not. Amen? God will always come through. But people judge God by what they know of people. And so they say, because people don't always come through, that God doesn't. This is why people get mad at other people. I try very hard not to get mad at other people or hold any kind of grudge against other people. If I do get mad, I let it go really quickly. Why? Because I realize that they aren't my answer. God is. God is my answer. God will always come through. And if you have covenant with God, if you do your part, he will always do his part. Always. God has never left you nor forsaken you. He will always do his part. When have you not had what you've needed, what you've desired, what you want, whatever, however you want to say it? That's when you haven't been good to your covenant. Now listen, some things take time. And this is the other thing we're going to say. If you took 10 years getting yourself in a mess, don't just think you're going to come into church and God is going to pick you up, take you out of it, and turn it all around today. He's going to lead you out of it, because the Holy Spirit doesn't take, he leads. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Bible says many are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. God will lead you out of your mess. He led me out of my mess, but it didn't happen overnight. We tithe and tithe and tithe and tithe and gave and gave and gave on top of it. So we were giving, we were tithing 10%, because tithe is only 10% of your income. That's what it is. It always is. If you're not doing 10%, you're not tithing. But we tithe and tithe and tithe. And on top of that, we gave for years and years and didn't seem like we didn't see anything. But then finally, when our focus started changing as God, as we had been proven faithful, things started breaking in our lives. And guess what happened? We got started getting set free financially. Yeah, that's why we don't live in financial problem all the time, like chaos all the time, because we're tithers. And we're givers on top of that. That's what it is. There's no other way to do it. Listen. The Bible says there that if you don't do those things, you are robbing God. Why do you think God would want to bless you when you're robbing him? How many people you... Oh, praise the Lord. This is the Bible. And it's not just when you're there. Praise the Lord. If I don't show up some week, my tithe still does. Yeah, absolutely. Just because I wasn't there doesn't exempt me from doing the work of the Lord. Right? They didn't suddenly say, this week, you didn't show up to church. Yeah, the lights, those are free this week. They didn't say, the building and the payment on the building, you don't have to worry about that this week. No, the people on the other end, they're like, give me my money and give it to me on time. Guess what? We're covenant people, so we always make sure we do. Amen? Praise the Lord. God will bless you as you are a blessing. Listen, this stuff is not to bring you down. But it is to put something in you to say, you know what? I got to stir myself up for a minute here. I have not been doing right by the Lord. I want to make sure I'm doing right, because when I do right by the Lord, he will complete his part of the covenant. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. 2 Timothy 3. We're getting close to the end here. Pastor, you said you went to California and came back with good stuff, and this will change your lives. This is the difference. And I'm going to tell you right now, this will not grow a church to be 4,000, 10,000 people. This is not how you grow a large church, but this is how you grow a faithful church. I don't care about a large church. I don't care about filling the seats in the sense that I need to have a huge church. I care about one thing, and that's being faithful to God. I don't pray for everybody. I pray for the faithful. That's what I pray for. I don't want everybody. I don't want people to come in here and be drains and just soak up everything. And, oh, it's always about me, and then leave and not do anything anyways, because that's what always happens to them. It's been proven over and over and over. 2 Timothy 3:1. Praise the Lord. This is why people walk out of covenant right here. This is always why people leave covenant. Whether it's marriage, whether it's anything else, it doesn't matter. This is why people leave covenant. Now listen, if you left a marriage because it was bad, I'm not saying that you're a horrible person or anything like that. If you left marriage because you were a horrible person, but now you're doing right, I don't care about that. That's what I'm saying. This is why people do this. And so this is the same reason. This is why people won't be faithful to anything. This is why people always separate from covenant. So what my point is this. If your desire is to break covenant, think about this, and this is the reason, and change it. Because this is the kind of stuff that goes against everything that God is about. Amen? Praise the Lord. 2 Timothy 3:1. But know this, that in the last days, that's the ones we're in, perilous times will come. And the reason they will come, for men will be lovers of themselves. That's number one. Praise the Lord. Why won't you do covenant? Why won't you be... here's the same thing with marriage. Every Christian marriage should have no issue at all. Why? Because if both people in that covenant do exactly what the Bible says to do, neither one will ever go without. Neither one will ever be left alone or feel bad or anything because you're always doing for the other. My wife and I endeavor with all our hearts to live it. We don't live it perfectly. But the reason we have a good marriage is not because we lucked out. It's because both of us endeavor with all our hearts and everything that's in us to live according to the principles of the marriage covenant. That's why we have a good marriage. A rotten marriage before. I'm going to tell you that. I'm not talking bad about that person at all, the one I was married to. I'm just saying it was rotten. It was terrible. Every day was hell on earth. I know what the feeling is. I know what it's all about. Praise the Lord. If both of us had done this, we would have had heaven on earth. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. That's people that speak against God. Disobedient to parents. We don't see that, do we? Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving. And this word unforgiving is a really interesting word. It's actually not translated perfectly here. If you look it up, it actually means truce breakers. Or you could say covenant breaker. That's exactly what that word means. You go ahead and look it up. If you have a Strong's Concordance, you can look it up. It tells you what the original word and the original Greek was, and that's exactly what it means. It's truce breaker. Amen? That's somebody who says, yes, I'll do this, and then turns around and says, no, I won't. Yeah, Pastor, sure, I'll do that. Why didn't this get done? Why didn't that get done? Because you're a truce breaker. Yeah, absolutely. Praise the Lord. It's the truth. Oh, sure. That's why I always endeavor. Now, I'm not always perfect at it. Praise the Lord. Last night we said we picked Cody up at 5:30, and we picked him up at 5:37. We were a little bit late. Praise the Lord. Most of the time when I'm going to be late, and I try to do this, if I know I'm going to be late, I let someone know. Why? Because they're sitting around waiting for me. Praise the Lord. I always try to be at least 15 minutes early to everything. Praise the Lord. Everything. I mean, generally, if we go to another service in another church, we're at least 15 to a minutes early to a half hour. Why? Because I don't want to be walking in last minute. I don't want to be walking after. You know, I want to get the whole experience. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise God. Slanderers, self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors. You know what a traitor is. Have you ever felt betrayed before? Yeah. How's that feel? Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. This is a church. This is a church. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. What does that mean? It means they will do whatever they want to do no matter what this says. They will do whatever they want to do no matter what they hear. They don't care because they're lovers of pleasure more than they're lovers of God. Jesus said, if you love me, do what I told you to do. He said that, if you love me. What he's saying by that is if you don't do what he says to do purposely, you are proving you don't love Jesus. Now, here, let's say this. None of you are going to be perfect. None of you are going to wake up perfect like I did this morning. That's a joke. Hallelujah. I didn't wake up. I know firsthand what it's like to be a lover of yourself over God as a pastor. As a pastor who preaches this, there are days when I wake up and I don't want to. There are days I wake up and I just don't. But what do? I always am forcing myself. The body says, the Bible says you buffet your body. I always force myself back into the things that I know are right, because I know that it's right before God. It's not because it feels good. It's not because it wouldn't be easier. You don't think it would be easier for me to go to a picnic on a Sunday morning than it would be at church? Well, of course it would. You don't think it'd be easier for me to just go on any vacation that I want and never be in church? Well, of course it would be. It would be easier on the flesh in the moment. But when all hell's breaking loose in my life, it isn't easier then, because I go before God and I can't go to Him with confidence. And I know that. So I want to stay confident before God. So I do everything in me to not be this. It doesn't mean I'm perfect. But see, there's a difference between being perfect and not even caring to do it at all. Praise the Lord. If you are addicted to something, listen, I understand addiction. I've been there. But we have to understand that addiction is something you have to put down through the Word and through the power of God. You can't do it. Listen, if you perpetually live in it because you just won't put it down, you know what you're doing? You are choosing to live in that sin. You're shedding or trotting over the blood of Jesus. You're saying it doesn't matter, and you will be held accountable for it. Stuff like that can keep, the Bible says it, drunkenness will keep people out of heaven. Yeah. And yet Christians are out there tipping them back left to right. Drunkenness will keep people out of heaven. How do you think drunkenness, is there anybody that's ever known an alcoholic that started off and said, you know what, I want to be an alcoholic today? It's not what it's about. It's not what it's saying. It's saying people who live in drunkenness. That word is in the Bible, just like with homosexuality, it's in there too. But I guess, you know, if we just want to cut and pick and choose what we don't want, what we want to hear, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. You have no idea. You have no idea what the scripture even talks. That proves, honestly, it proves your stupidity. It proves your lack. And what stupidity is really, it's just a refusal to get into the Word and study it out and find. The Bible said they searched the scriptures day and night to see if what they said were true. Yeah. Hallelujah. You ain't ever going to find God in here say, you know what, set them up, friends on the bars. Let's go ahead and just set them up. Start tipping them back because it's okay with me. You'll never find that in Scripture. In fact, you'll see that the Scripture calls it foolishness. It calls it stupid. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Lovers of pleasure rather than God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. Just because you sit in church don't make you a Christian. Just because you show up to church on Sunday doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you show up to church, you can show up every day. It doesn't matter. Just because you come and you do this and that doesn't make you a Christian. Praise the Lord. God weighs a heart. You know what I mean? For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. If you were in church and you were at the same place you are a year from now, in a year from now, if you're in the same place you were a year ago, in your spirituality, in your growth and everything, there's one or two reasons for it. It's either my fault or it's your fault. Yeah. It's either my fault or it's your fault. But I'm going to tell you right now, I know it's not mine, because I can see a whole lot of people that are growing. I can see a whole lot of people that are changing. I seek the Lord. I stay before the Lord, and I endeavor to preach everything that He has for me to preach for the people. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. You need to ask yourself, if you ain't growing, there's a reason for it. It means you ain't been in your word. It means you haven't been praying. It means you haven't been growing. See, God, I love, you know, I use my sister Becky. She ain't in here. She's tending to a child right now. But I love this. She sends us messages all the time. You know, what about this scripture? I don't quite understand this, or I don't quite understand this. She's reading the scripture. You know what that shows me? It shows me she's reading her word. It shows me she's actually in scripture. I mean, if she sends me a message on Tuesday or on Wednesday, I know that she has at least been in the scripture probably sometime near around then. Yeah. Right? Yeah. What is it? She has a desire. But people leave church and they don't ever think about God anymore. The rest of the week, they thought, well, I got to show up to church this week. If you think you have to show up to church, go find another church and have to go there. Because you're never going to produce anything here that we need from you. We need people. Listen, I don't want people to be here to just be soaking up space so I can look out and say, hey, we got 70 people this week. We got 65 people this week. We got whatever people. I don't care about that. What I want is I want to see lives change. I want to see you living the best life that you possibly can. I want to see you living full of God. I want to see you so full of God that you are going out there and every mountain that comes up before you, you're conquering. That's what I want to see. That's why we do what we do. That's why we drive. Well, you know what? I would much rather stay at home on Saturday nights than to drive down to Corey every week and preach to a small group of people. But see, God's called me there. And I know that that's going to grow, because anything that's alive grows. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if you're alive, if you're still alive, pinch yourself to see. But if you're still alive, then you need to be growing. You want to grow in the things of God. Listen, the things of God are not burdensome. The commandments of God are not burdensome. We look at it like it's hard to follow God. It isn't hard to put the things down to destroy your body. What's hard is living in the result of not living according to God. That's what's hard. What's hard is when you don't know how to answer people. I know I got to close, but I got to show you, say this. My pastor and I were sitting in this car, and blessing of God. That car was just an example. But actually, the car sucked. It was an example of the blessing of God, because it sucked, right? How does that work? Well, they upgraded us. They put us in a nicer car because that's what happens. You have favor. We got a nice convertible, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's the truth. We got a nice convertible. So we're sitting there watching the wildfires, you know, with our popcorn and our soda, with the top down. No, it wasn't really like that. But we were sitting there watching, you know, and so we were out. It was a nice afternoon. Just everything was on fire. But we were sitting there watching the wildfire burn, you know, because listen, when there's a fire burning, people watch it. We weren't the only ones. It wasn't because we were hoping that everybody's house burned down or anything like that. But it's something you've never seen before. It's kind of like if I was standing here and a tornado started going down the street, I'm going to watch it. I'm just saying, that's the way that it is, you know. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. I don't wish tornadoes on anybody, but I want to be around one sometime. Yeah. Just to see it. Yeah. I want to be safe. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not, you know, praise God. Hallelujah. But I just want to be in the right place at the right time. Hallelujah. I just like that, you know. Hey, I'm not the only one. But at any rate, we're sitting there, and this guy pulls up next to us, and he was telling us, he's like, yeah, my house is right over there where you see all the smoke coming out. And so, well, praise the Lord, we ended up found out that his house was fine. But this guy, you know, we were talking back and forth, and he found out we were there because Pastor Tim was in a Bible conference or a Bible school out there, and he was there, and he's talking about, starts asking questions, you know. Starts asking questions to Pastor Tim this guy thought about these questions. These are questions I'd have to be like, I'll get back to you on that. Praise the Lord, because these were, you know, just that kind of question. But he answered them so eloquently. I love that. But you know, that doesn't happen unless you build that in you. That doesn't happen. And it doesn't just happen. I'm working up to that. Praise the Lord. He's got more time on me. Amen. But I'm working up to that. I want to be able to answer every single question. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. When I first came in the church, I couldn't answer none of your questions. Praise God. I remember one night, I was actually on my way to California this time. And Sister Trisha over here texted me a question. I had no idea how to answer it. But the Holy Ghost on the inside of me did. And because I know him, and I endeavor to know him, I was able to answer it within seconds. It came up. See, that's what covenant does for us. Amen. Covenant has the answers. Covenant has the direction. Covenant puts us in the places we need to be, so we get blessed. Covenant makes favor happen to you. Covenant makes the doors open for you. Praise the Lord. And this is what I want to get to. Closing with this is that covenant makes all this stuff happen for us. It is so important. So let's do our part of it. Let's be part of it and endeavor. And I'm not saying that everybody in this church, I'm not saying anybody in this church is not doing it. But this is something that we always need to stir ourselves up. And something I stir myself up with is this idea of covenant. Yes, Lord, I'm in covenant. This is what helps keep me right. This is what helps keep me doing better. It's because I remember covenant. Amen. And if you're struggling with something, this is what will help you get through. Remember covenant. He will if I will. Amen. Because he already has. You know what I mean? He's not waiting. He already has. Hallelujah. I hope that makes sense. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.